So, question. Two questions to start with. First question, what is your favourite smell? Anyone? Mown grass, okay.
Petrol.
Who said that? Oh, Josh. Okay, that we'll let you have that, Josh. Okay. Petrol, yep. And for anyone?
Babies.
New guitar smell.
New guitar smell, okay. What's that smell of?
Wood.
Okay, wood. Okay.
Yeah.
Soap? Any kind of soap?
No, dope.
Dope?
What sort of dope, Dad? That's what people call other things these days.
That's what you stretch the fabric under the wings of your aeroplane.
Thank you for clarifying. anyone else? Any favourite smell?
Inside of a classic car.
Smell of food, okay. What was that over here?
Inside of a classic car.
Inside of a classic car, what's that, like rubber and...
Old leather.
Old leather, okay. Okay.
Good food.
Any others? Coffee? Anyone?
Yeah, coffee.
Lemon.
Wet sand.
The sea.
Oh, there's so many lovely smells. Emmanuel. Barbecue. Okay, that's a good smell. Get ready for later. Okay. So there's lots of lovely smells. Okay, hold that thought. We'll come back to the smells in a bit. Second question. 2 weeks ago, cast your minds back 2 weeks, we had a guest preacher called Evan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He mentioned two men that had a key role in building the tabernacle, the place of worship for the Israelites in the wilderness. Can anyone remember what they were called?
No.
Don't cheat now. So if you want to cheat, it's in Exodus somewhere, Exodus 34 or 35.
Yeah, I was in the
two guys.
Well done.
Bezalel and Aholiab were the two men. And can you remember that Evan was saying that these men had been chosen to build the temple because they were skilled at doing all kinds of crafts. God had given them special ability to do metal work, to do fabric work, to do woodwork, all kinds of stuff. And they were particularly gifted and they could teach others. Does it come back now, people that were here? If you weren't here,
yeah,
I'll let you
absolutely.
Off. That's all right. So these two guys, and then they had a whole workforce, they're building the tabernacle, this place of worship in the wilderness, for the Israelites to have somewhere to worship God, for them to have priests where they could go and offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. Okay, so then they're building this wonderful tabernacle. It's fabric, so it's portable, because every now and again they kept moving around and God's Spirit would move them to the next place. So they made it out of fabric, so it's quite a big kind of tent structure with a courtyard. So the kind of fabric outer walls, I think, and there's a courtyard, and then there's a tent in the middle with a kind of outer chamber. It's a special place the priests can go and do all their sacrifices. And then there's an inner chamber, the Holy of Holies, and that's all covered over. And that's where God's kind of presence stays, in that place there. And people could only get one person, one priest could only go in there once a year. Can you imagine that? Anyway, these guys were getting the furniture and the different bits and bobs for the temple ready. So Emma and Chris have found us some new furniture for in there. So we've got, we're going to keep this communion table, obviously. But we've got a kind of a dresser where we're going to, it's like a storage cupboard for all the bits and pieces for the worship team and things that we need to store. That's going to be in that corner. We've got a table for holding the Bibles. It's going to look really lovely. And we've got a new PA desk. So, you know, where we can run the PA from and do all of the stuff that makes service happen. So that's really exciting. But these guys were building their furniture from scratch. So furniture's not really a very good word. It doesn't really do justice to the stuff in the temple. But it's essentially furniture. But they each have a purpose. So there's different altars. There's the Ark of the Covenant. Has anyone heard of that? Think of Tomb Raiders and Lost Ark and all of this stuff. There's actually an Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was resting over this thing, and he had the Ten Commandments inside this box inside the Holy of Holies. And then you had a lampstand, so a big lampstand with, I think, 7 different flames. And then there was an altar, I think, in the courtyard, and then there was an altar of incense. And that was inside, and that's what we're going to be talking today about, the altar of incense. So the altar of incense was inside with the lampstand, and also they had a table like this with bread, representing God's presence. So can you turn with me to Exodus chapter 30? So this is where God's giving instructions to Moses for how he wants all the things in the temple to be, in the tabernacle to be. Okay, so Exodus chapter 30, in my Bible it's page 88, it won't be too far off in your Bibles. And we're going to read 1 to 10. Okay. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be a square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of 1 piece with it. Overlay the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold, and make a gold moulding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the moulding, 2 on each of the opposite sides, to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant Law, before the atonement cover that is over the tablets of the covenant law, where I will meet with you. Aaron, so Moses' brother, the priest, Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight, so that incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense, or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord. So this altar of incense. So does anyone know what a cubit is? Cubits, anyone?
No.
Apparently it's a measurement. It's about maybe 18 inches, so maybe 1.5 feet wide, something like this. So it's about this wide square, but it's 2 cubits high, so maybe 3 feet high, so it's about here. Square, off the floor, and it's got horns, so it's square with horns, and it's overlaid with gold, and it's beautiful. And it's just for burning incense before the Lord, that's it, nothing else, just the incense. And the incense was a special kind of blend of different spices that they made especially only for burning to the Lord. Okay. And so the priests, so Aaron and his family, they had to do this every morning and every evening. Okay. That's nice. Yeah? Should we get one? What do you reckon?
Who's going to go on a rota?
Oh, we need a rota for the altar of incense. Do you think it would be okay with the fire regulations? So this smoke is going up continually before the Lord. Okay, but what's that all about? What does that mean? What is that? We turn to Psalm 141, verse 1 to 2. There's a little clue in one of these psalms. So Psalm 141, 1 to 2. In my Bible, it's page 629. So David says, I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. So David is thinking about this altar of incense as if it's to do with prayer, and he's thinking of his prayer as if it's an incense. So prayer going up before God. Something that smells nice, something that blesses him, going up before the Lord. So, but is that just David's wishful thinking? That the altar of incense is to do with prayer? I don't think so. If we turn to Revelation, right at the back of the Bible. You guys are doing well. Revelation chapter 8, So Revelation is John, St. John having an encounter with the Lord and showing what's going on in heaven to John. So Revelation chapter 8, page 1239 or somewhere around there. We'll go from verse 3. Okay, 3 and 4. There was another angel who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Okay. So we see here that actually the prayers and the incense is all mixed in together. And what is going up before God is the prayers of God's people all over the world that's going up before the Lord in heaven. And he's, in this picture language, he's got this big bowl full of burning incense, which represents all the prayers of God's people going up before him. So I want to talk about, you can either stay in Revelation or I'm going to turn back to Exodus chapter 30, but just be comfortable. But I want to talk about this altar of prayer, altar of incense. And there's a few things I want to draw out from the passage, and then I want to do a kind of meditation exercise together. So stay with me. All right. Emma, if I'm going on too long, will you wave at me?
I'll do.
In about an hour's time. Thank you. All right. So some things to notice about worshipping God with incense, or worshipping God with incense / prayer. So think of it as one thing. Okay. Worshipping God with prayer, worshipping God with incense, was regular. So we see in Exodus chapter 30, we see that Aaron had to do it every morning and every evening. It was a regular thing. It was planned. It was intentional. It wasn't a haphazard thing. There was a routine. And I don't know about you, but for me, myself, I find it easier to pray if I planned it and if I'm not just trying to squeeze it into my day somewhere. Not always, but if I've planned, you know, when I wake up, if I give myself enough time to have a little time with the Lord, or in the evening when I get home, if I give myself a little time to be with the Lord, even if I decide, okay, I'm going to go for a walk, I'm going to have a little bit of time with the Lord, that helps me, because then I know that's my time with God. So I've got a little routine going. I'll tell you about how that goes wrong sometimes in a minute. But it was a regular thing. It was planned, and it was at the beginning of the day. So their day started in the evening, actually. The beginning of the day, but also after sleeping, they would offer this incense. And it would never go out. It was always lit. So it's not that they just did it in the morning and the evening. The pile of incense was always burning before the Lord. Have you ever been in a church where they've always got this little lamp in one corner, and then they've got a thing with incense, and the incense is always going? That's where it comes from. It's that continual kind of idea that prayers are always going up before the Lord, all over the world. Prayers always going up before the Lord. So it was regular. It was planned. There was a routine. There was a time and a place for it. It was always the same time and the same place every day. And that worked. Okay. So worshipping God with incense or prayer was also continuous. So like we just said, it carried on. The incense would be lit, the pile of incense would be lit, and then it would just be replenished in the evening and the morning. They would just add more incense to this thing that was always burning and keeping going. And it went from generation to generation. Verse 8 says, he must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight, so the incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. So just think back. If you can think that far, my brain can't think this far back, but all the generations. So imagine the people that told you about Jesus were praying. The people, Emma and I were talking about this in the week, and Sky, and all the prayers that people have prayed in this place for 106 years on this land. People have been praying for this community, and they've been praying to the Lord for all this time. And how many generations is that in 106 years? Four or five?
Four or five.
It's quite a few generations. But then think about the people that led the guy who started this church, the people that led him to the Lord, and then back, the people that led them to the Lord, and so on, and back until you get to the apostles, and then you get to Jesus and the disciples, and then you get all the way back to Moses in the desert. The prayers that have gone on for generations and generations. That blows my mind. Don't know about you guys. But that's a lot of praying. But why? Why does it need to continue? Because God is always good. He always deserves our worship. He always deserves our prayer. And he's eternal. And so his praise must go up. His praise must go up. I remember thinking in the lockdown, two things that have to still happen. I remember thinking to myself in one of my prayer times, God must still be praised. And he was still praised. We did praise him online, but we praised him, and people praised him all over the world. God must still be praised, and the word must still go out. And both those things kept happening. Okay. So worshipping God with incense and prayer was regular, and it was continuous, because he deserves it. And worshipping God with incense was a fragrant offering. It was a sweet-smelling sacrifice. I don't think it smelled like petrol or the inside of a car, but I could be wrong. But it might not smell like coffee or food, but it smelled lovely. It was a beautiful smell. And it was something that blessed God's heart. It was something that made God's heart glad, this beautiful smell of all of this incense going up before him. And our prayers, he loves it when we pray. That blesses his heart. He loves it when we come and be with him, when we spend time with him. That's something that touches God's heart. But if you think to yourself, how do my prayers smell today? How do my prayers smell? Think of it like, well, obviously you think of it like a relationship. God is our Father. Parents among us, you have a wonderful relationship with your children, but when they keep asking you for things and that's all they want. Will you take me here? Will you take me to the shop? Will you do this? Will you buy this? Will you spend this? You kind of think, isn't there something more? You want to bless the children. You want to, you love them, but you kind of think, isn't there something more to this? You know, and God deserves our worship because he's our good Father. And we're not worshiping him to flatter him and get something out of him. We're worshiping because we love him. And so it's this kind of ongoing, sweet-smelling aroma, this beautiful thing for the Lord. It blesses his heart when we pray. It blesses his heart when we worship him. So this incense smelt lovely, but probably not like petrol. I have to say sorry, Josh. Okay. And then worshipping God with incense and prayer was holy. It was a special moment. Yes, it was a routine. Yes, the priest did it every day. Probably wasn't the same priest every day. They had a big team, so they would have taken it in turns. But it was a holy moment. It was something sacred, this offering to God that pleased God. It was something holy and special. It wasn't just like a kind of blasé thing, you know. It's a holy thing. And I'm not saying to you that we can't just talk to God anytime, any place. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we can't get used to praying and just have that informal relationship with the Lord all the time. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we forget that it's holy when we're offering prayer to the Lord. Well, I forget. Speak for myself. I forget that. I just get used to it. I tell you how wonderful my prayer time was on Thursday. Are you ready for this? So on Thursday, we were decorating and got home and thought, oh, it'd be nice to spend some time with God. So I thought, let me sit down and spend some time with God. So I did. I went upstairs to where I usually pray. So I've got a little routine where I normally sit. And then my old manager phoned me. So I thought, let me speak to her because she doesn't normally phone me. Maybe she needs something, fine. So I spoke to her. Okay, great. 15 minutes later, all right, let's start praying again. Okay. And then my friend phoned me and I've been trying to get hold of her. So I decided, okay, let me talk to my friend. I've been trying to get hold of her. Amazing. So we had a good chat. And then by that time, I was a bit hungry. So I thought, okay, let me pray after dinner. get something to eat. So had some dinner. I was like, actually, I'm quite tired. I'll have a little nap. So then had my nap, and then suddenly it was on 9 o'clock, and I'm awake. Let's pray. Let me just check my phone first.
Yeah.
Hour and a half later.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lord.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. I treated it like a casual thing. I'm not trying to make us feel bad, but sometimes we can do that. I just didn't give God the priority that he needed to have at that time on that Thursday evening. I said I was going to pray. I got so distracted with lots of good things and lots of rubbish afterwards, but it was not a holy time. Let me say that. But we're learning. It's a work in progress. It's a journey. And we're all learning together. So I just thought I'd better be transparent with you guys. So worshipping God with incense and prayer was also an important job done by the priests. Okay. So doing this, offering this incense every morning, every evening, every day for generations, that was done by the priests. That was part of their job. That was their thing. It was kind of their kind of special privilege to offer this to the Lord. And we're priests now. And so the job of the priest at that time was to minister before the Lord, to just minister to God on behalf of the people. So if I'm saying we're all priests, does anyone remember? Might have mentioned that before. So I think last time I preached, we said we're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, holy nation, yes. Kingdom, royal kingdom.
Yes.
I'm mixing up the words. But that's there in Exodus and it's there in Peter. We're priests. God has called us to be his priests now. And we don't have to burn incense, but we can offer our prayers. And that's an important part of our job as priests. We say, yeah, okay, but if we're all priests, you know, if the role of the priest is to offer incense and to pray on behalf of others, who are the others that we're praying for? If all Christians are priests, we're praying for the world. We're ministering to the Lord on behalf of the world and bringing those needs before him. There's lots of people that don't know the Lord, and it's our job to pray for them and to pray for the world. And it's an important privilege that we have. It's a special calling that we have to pray and to do this task, to burn this incense, to offer this prayer to the Lord. It's a special task. Okay. Is everyone still with me?
Yep.
We're going to do a quick recap and then we'll do the meditation together. Okay. So worshipping God with incense and prayer is regular. It's planned. It's not haphazard. It's continuous. God deserves worship all the time. And it goes on from generation to generation. Whether we choose to be part of it or not, God's praise will go on from generation to generation. It's a fragrant, sweet-smelling offering, like coffee. It smells nice. It's something that blesses God's heart. He loves it when we pray. He loves it when we come to him. It's a holy thing. It's sacred, special. It can be any time, any place, but it's special. It's a wonderful thing that we can talk to our Creator direct. And it's an important job that the priests did. It's an important part of our calling, of who we are as God's people. It's an important part of our identity as God's people. Okay. So I'd like you to join me with some meditation exercise. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to get us all to imagine that we're priests going to offer the incense. But I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes if you're comfortable too. If not, that's okay. Whatever's comfortable for you, I'm just going to kind of talk us through it. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit and our God-given imagination to help us meet with God. Okay. So we're imagining that we're priests. So we're wearing our special robes. And we're dedicated to the Lord. We're ready to go and burn the incense before the Lord. Okay. So first you walk in to the outer sanctuary of the tabernacle. You step through the curtains and into a big courtyard. and you keep walking. Go into a little side room and collect the incense in a golden bowl. And you collect a flame to support it to light, to continue to keep it lit. So you've got the flame and the incense in a bowl. You step into the holy place, go through the curtain, and now you're inside the tent where you meet with God. And there's the table with the bread there, and the golden lampstand with its 7 candles. And you are there, and the Lord is there. And you walk over to the golden altar of incense, and you're standing before the Lord. And you begin to pour the incense into the burning pile on the altar, and you just put the flame to it to help it to keep lit. And the smoke is starting to smell sweet, and it's going up before the Lord, and you can smell it. And you just stay there standing before the Lord for a moment. It's your moment to worship. Maybe you lift your hands. Maybe you're just quiet before the Lord. How do you feel in your body? How do you feel in your spirit? Is there something you want to say to the Lord? Is there any worship you want to bring? You're smelling the incense going up before the Lord. Maybe you can feel the wind of the Spirit. Maybe you can hear something. Maybe God wants to say something to you. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes. You can just stay with the Lord in this place. It's a holy moment. You can feel God's heart is glad. When you're ready, you can prepare to leave the altar of incense. You have other duties to do. Maybe you bow down to God. You step away reverently from the altar and gently walk back through the curtain. Back into the courtyard in the sunshine, all the people doing their other sacrifices, all the noise, all the activity there. And then you can keep walking through the courtyard, go back through the outer curtains, and you're back in the King's Church. Welcome back. So, I don't know how you found that exercise, but sometimes it's good to use our imagination and just connect with God in that way. And if he was saying something and you want to go back another time, go back later. If I didn't give you long enough, I'm sorry. But we can do that when we pray. We can connect with God with our imagination and let the Holy Spirit minister to us. So, I just want to pray for us, and then I'll hand over to Cherry. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of making us your priests. Thank you that we get to bring our worship to you, to bring our prayers to you. And Lord, that you love it when we pray. And you want to meet with us. Help us to prioritize praying. Help us to prioritize you in our lives, in the different ways that we meet with you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Amen.